Your love lifted me.
I am free.
Praise the Lord, church. We serve an awesome, awesome God today. So we had such a great Bible lesson. You can be seated this morning. Had such a great Bible lesson this morning. If you weren't able to make it, I would encourage you to go online, listen to Pastor Phil, what it means to be called to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. We are so great to have, if you're a guest of ours, so great to have you here today. If you're joining us online, it's great to have you online visiting with us. We have a connection card that if you have not filled one of those out and you're a guest, we'd love to have you fill that out. And you can get that out at the kiosk. We'd just like to be able to make contact with you. And also, if you have any special prayer requests, prayer time, we'd like to encourage people to turn in prayer requests. We have a number of prayer chains that we pray for folks all week long. And so if it's prayed for here in the service, it's also a lot of their needs are passed on to our prayer, various prayer chains and such. So just let you give you heads up on that. Also, there's a number of ways that you can give. We have a box out there in the kiosk. And you're welcome to take and put anything into the box there. And then you can also mail it in. You can go to our website. You can have your church app, the Church Center app. A lot of you folks have been downloading that, putting that onto your phone, smartphone device, whatever you would have. And you can take and you can also give that way. On Sunday evenings, normally we don't have a service on Sunday evening. Our African International, their service starts at 5 and they end around 7. But tonight at 7 o'clock, we're having a special men's vision service. So we want to encourage all of our men to come out. Pastor Jerry Simmons is our men's leader. He's also the men's director for the District of Wisconsin. So he will be speaking in that service tonight, and our men will be taking care of all the worship and all of that. So we want to encourage our men to come out to that. And I believe after service, as normal, we're going to go out and trash some restaurant and buy out all their burgers and fries and whatever else they serve. So I want to encourage you to show up for that. Also, this Wednesday evening, we have our Bible study, Wednesday evening Bible study. I want to encourage you for that, to be here for that. And then also Thursday evening is our annual business meeting. I know a lot of you typically don't like to come to our annual business meeting. But if you want to know the where the church is as far as finances and all of that such, we're going to be covering all of that on Thursday evening. So I want to encourage you to attend that. Next Saturday at February 27th at 10 a.m., there's going to be a ladies' tea, and that's going to be in the fellowship hall. And I'm sure for some of you hardcore ladies, they'll be able to have some Mountain Dew or something like that over there for you if you're not a tea drinker or a coffee drinker. Maybe bring your own Dew. But nevertheless, that's next Saturday at 10, and then next Saturday at 11 a.m. is the Hyphen Chili Bowl. Now, this is something that has been going on for decades here, and this will be taking place at the Knopf's house in Sun Prairie. And Josh and Jenny, if you could just, two of you could just stand, if you don't mind. They're over our Hyphen Ministry. If you have any questions, they got lots and lots of chili, lots of Fritos, lots of that good kind of stuff. And then they play football outdoors. And hopefully we'll be able to get a little snow maybe. If not, it might be an ice bowl or a slush bowl. But nevertheless, that's coming next Saturday, 11 o'clock, at the Knopf's house in Sun Prairie. And also, we had a different service on Wednesday evening. We have had a number of real dire needs here at Calvary Gospel Church as far as some health situations with some of our members. And we prayed for Sister Christina McKnight, who is here this morning. And we also prayed for Sister Stephanie Thompson, who they are not here this morning, but then also for a friend of Sister Tanya Rocket named Scott Ross. And all of these folks have some pretty serious issues concerning cancer. And if God doesn't heal them, God doesn't take care of this, it may not turn out as well for these brothers and sisters. And so what I'm asking is I've asked Sister Linda Brown, who's our prayer minister, here at Calvary. I've asked her to take and put together a prayer and fasting calendar, and that's going to be out on the kiosk. And we're going to give a little bit more details on this on Wednesday evening, and such as far as prayer times at the building will be open if you'd like to come in and pray specifically for these particular needs. I believe that God wants to do miracles, signs, and wonders. And if we want him to do it among us, then unfortunately it takes people that are in a situation that need a miracle in their life. And if we could stand this morning, it is so great also to have Brother and Sister Gail and Thompson with us. And some of you may not know this, but this is Sister Abby Powell's mother and father. And also great to have her sister and brother-in-law. Some of you, this tall young man over here is Keith Manley. It's his son, and it's so great to have you here today. I still have a hard time looking and saying, boy, do these little guys grow up. And when they grow up, they like grow up. And then I'm noticing they're starting to grow out a little bit. And in different ways. He goes like this. Oh, boy. I'm going to stop. Sometimes you can dig a hole so deep you can't get out of. Sometimes you just trip and fall in a well. And I mean, it's so let's take this morning and let's go to prayer for this service, but also for Scott Ross, for Christina McKnight. And if some of you ladies would like to gather around Sister Christina and then also Sister Stephanie Thompson. And she just stepped in the back over here, if that would be okay. Some of you ladies, maybe just go join, stand around Sister Stephanie. And let's pray for these folks, but let's also pray for this service, that God would have his way in this service. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here today with my brothers and with my sisters. I pray, God, for Sister Christina, and I pray, God, for Sister Stephanie, and I pray, Lord, for Scott Ross, Lord, for healing and salvation. God, I pray, Lord, for these brothers and this brother and the sisters, and I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon them, that you would lead them, guide them, touch their bodies today, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, for my brother Galen Thompson as he brings forth the word of the Lord. I also pray for our worship team as they lead us into worship. No season of worship here, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We appreciate. We thank you, God, for being here today. God, you are here because we are here. And when we come here, you come with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Derek, lead us into the worship. God bless you.
Place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I tried with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out, I thank God. I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So, so long to my old friends. Burdens and bitterness, you can just keep on moving. No, you ain't welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. Savior, I thank God. In hell lost another one, I am free, I am free, I am free. In hell lost another one, I am free, I am free, I am free. Oh,
hell lost another one, I am free, I am free.
Lost another one.
I am free. I am free. I am free.
Oh.
Lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free.
Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. But they haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. We know that hope is never lost,
for there is still an empty grave.
Power in your name. seems to be no way. We trust in you, God, you have the final say. You are the way.
You are the way when there seems to be no way.
We trust in you, Jesus.
We trust in you, God, you have the final say.
You are the way.
You are the way when there seems to be no way.
God, we believe. God, we believe for it.
From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. Move the immovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe.
Yes, we do.
God, we believe for it.
There's a very powerful spirit of the Holy Ghost flowing in this place right now. They may say, well, Pastor, you know, just let us keep worshiping. I'm a very strong proponent of worship. But I believe that God has brought our brother. He's not here by just accident. But God has a word he wants to give to us. God is working in so many of our lives at so many different levels. And God has a word. Doesn't mean we're not going to worship anymore. Just we're going to listen to God's word. Worship opens up our hearts, opens up our minds, and prepares, softens up the soil. So when the word comes forth, it can fall on fertile ground. God wants this word to grow in our hearts. So we have Brother Galen Thompson is going to come for a little bit and speak to us. And it's such an honor to have you here, Brother Galen. We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. We're just going to continue from the very first song that was sung in worship through the word. Amen. And I will go right to it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. And again, as you're turning there and as it's coming up, just saying thank you to Brother Pastor Grant for the invitation. And thank you to the church for allowing my family to come home. We're grateful for this church and very thankful to be with you. Ephesians chapter 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. This was the very first song we sang. What is the width, the length, the depth, and the height? Then there's a dash. Everything up to this point leading to it, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you can be rooted and grounded in love. And when rooted and grounded in love, which is the precursor, helps us then to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And then it leads it to the last statement, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I'd like to talk to you about the law of love. Heavenly Father, you have orchestrated everything, and I come, Lord Jesus, just simply to be a mail carrier to what you've already begun. Help me, Lord, to hear your word and to share it as you'd have it shared. And let our hearts be open to receive it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As a young child, I heard a sermon on love or the love of God. I'm not sure. It may have been Emmett Caskey who preached it. I'm not sure because he was preaching in my home church when I was a little kid. I know he looks younger than me, and it's hard to believe that, but that's still the truth. So as I don't know what my age was, I honestly can't tell you, but I heard a message on love and that God loves me and the love of Christ. And for a young mind, it was, wow, that's a lot for a little mind. First of all, love is intangible. And then to top that off, we're talking about the love of God, which is another intangible. And think about it from a little child's mind. Someone's telling you that God loves you. And first of all, you're trying to get your head around love and then trying to get your head around God. And you're putting them all in the same sentence. And it's pretty hard to get your head around all that. And I would have to say it surpassed knowledge. So what is love? You know, I think about it from a little child's mind. You're trying to get, what is love? You're hearing someone talk about love and you're trying to define it in your own mind to grasp. What is love? What does it feel like? How do I know when I'm going to feel love? And how am I ever going to know he loves me? It's pretty mind-blowing. I'm not even sure mom and dad love me. I don't mean that bad. I mean, that's the truth when you're a kid. In my mind, I'm saying, well, surely they do. But again, I'm trying to get my head around. I'm looking for not just words. I'm looking for maybe some experiential definition so that I can really, in a young mind, say that I understand love. Then the next question is, well, do I love God? Again, it's like, I think I do, and I really think it's probably the case because it's set, eternity set within the hearts of all people that even though I was a child, I still had a sense of God. I think all people everywhere created have a sense of God because we're created in his image. So my mind was saying, I think I do. And then again, the question came back, but how do I know God loves me? And as a young child, I needed to know. I needed to know, what is love? Understand love. Does God love me? Is love real? Is it true? And how could I really know? So as just an innocent young child, I decided the best way to find out is I'll tell him I love him, and we'll see what happens. So it was after service, and I was one of my first times responding and came to the front of the church, and as a little kid, I just looked up and I said, I love you, God. Kind of a question, did you hear that? I love you, God. But I wasn't ready for what happened. He answered me, not with audible words, but something overwhelmed me that was so warm and embracing that is unexplainable. And tears came out of my little eyes, running down my cheeks. I couldn't, in a little young mind, probably even articulate what was happening. But when I looked up to God and I said to him, I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. He answered with his presence that came and enveloped me as a child. And I felt it all over me. What a revelation. Love was my first experiential awareness of a living God. I didn't want a description. I wanted a tangible definition. I had to experience love to know love. Deep down. Even if we don't want to admit it. Probably men more than women. But we all long to be loved and to love. Because it's innate. We're made in the image of God. And the scripture says in John 4:24 that God is spirit. Yes, we know that. And we also know that God is love. So we are made in his image, and it's innate. It is more than just mere sentiment or some form of self-interest. You don't have to feel guilty about wanting to be loved and to love. It's innate within you. It's there. It's created by God. It's an essential human need. Because we are then reflecting what encapsulates God, love. You see, love is two-sided. Let's take a definition from the noun side. A little bit of an English class here. As a noun, love is defined as an intense feeling of deep affection. An intense feeling of deep affection. Now that description that I found in looking for a definition of love exactly fit what I experienced when I looked up to heaven as a kid and I said, I love you, and all of a sudden I was overwhelmed with something unexplainable, so warm, so enveloping, this deep sense of affection that flooded my whole being. That's the noun. Love as a verb. Love means to feel deep affection for, care very much for, hold very dear, be devoted to. So we sense that if we're going to live well, have any sense of well-being, we must experience both the receiving and the giving of love, both the noun and the verb, that balance of love. Therefore, everybody intensely wonders how they can be the kind of person who is worthy of love. Noun, the noun. And is capable of loving others, the verb. You see, in the story that I have given to you, of my own story, for me, the noun love, that intense feeling of deep affection, gave definition to the verb. When I experienced it, I knew when I then, with tears running down my face, replied back to what I was feeling, I said it over and over again. I love you, God. And every time I said it, it got stronger. I love you, God. And it got stronger. And the presence of God was mightier and stronger every time I spoke it. Because now there was two sides to the love that was going on. Unfortunately, our world is often love deprived. And there's people that are sitting under the sound of my voice today who are wounded and scarred. Because the Bible tells us, and Jesus himself warned us. He said in the last days, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold or wax cold. Vincent defines it. And I'm not trying to get too deep here, but listen to what Vincent in his word study says about what it means to grow cold. He said it's spiritual energy blighted or chilled by a maligned or poisonous wind. And there's people under the sound of my voice in their innocency who weren't asking for what happened to them, where a cold chill just got blown over their life that changed everything in a moment. And it forever has done some damage and has rendered things that would... what God meant for us to have for an understanding of what love is. The Bible tells us that it was very early in the morning. Jesus came down from the Mount of Olives and he went into the temple. And the Bible says that he sat down. And he said, great crowds gathered in. And he began to teach them. Now you have to understand, Jesus wasn't in the holies of holies. Because only a select person or two could get in there every once a year. And he wasn't even in the holy place. And he wasn't into that place because where Jesus taught was in the outer courts, because everybody could come to the outer courts. So where he taught in the outer courts literally would be a court that, when you look at the pictures of Solomon's temple and Herod's temple, there was large outer courts, and they said that the floors were all marble, open space. And very typical, common of what it would be like in a synagogue. People would gather together and the teacher would sit in the middle, where people could come all around and come in close, and he could talk and he could talk and he could teach to the people that were all around him. Close. He sat. He got on their level. And he began to teach them. And it was in that setting, and it wasn't like pews, folks. I want you to understand, it's not what the court was. We get a little bit in our minds thinking about what we're accustomed to and thinking that's what it was. That's not how it was. Matter of fact, a lot of them probably were just sitting on the tile floor surrounding him. Completely surrounded by people. The crowds gathered in and they pressed in on him as he began to teach. The Bible does not record what Jesus taught. But the crowds, as we already heard in our lesson this morning, were hungry for what he had to say. And they pressed in. So while Jesus is teaching in the middle of the group, and they're all listening intently to his teaching, a commotion begins to happen within the outer court. And the Bible tells us that some scribes and some Pharisees came into the court. And as they came into the court, they were dragging a lady with them. Now, if you can get the picture, Jesus is in the middle. And I would think there was at least this many in number, if not more, because they were pressed in. But nevertheless, in order for them to get from the outside of the court to where Jesus was, pardon me. Excuse me. Can you get the picture? What it took for those people to do what they did? And they brought this woman, and the Bible says they set her in the midst. Everybody's around looking. The eyes are on the situation. Jesus, who was teaching, was forced to stop because no longer were they listening and looking at him, but all eyes were at what's going on as someone is trying to make their way through as people are squirming and moving to get out of the way as there's this group of people coming through and coming to where Jesus is in the middle. And they turned to Jesus and they said to him, Master, teacher, we brought this woman to you. She was caught in adultery, the very act. Sometimes I wonder, where was the guy? And they dragged her. Can you put yourself in that woman's shoes? If I stood you in this group right here and made that declaration, her spirit is so broken and downcast and humiliated. Well, you can justify it. Say, well, that's the price you pay. And there she is in that, looking down and cast down as she's brought as a spectacle before the crowd. And they said to the master, and by the way, the law of Moses says that anyone who did what she did should be stoned to death. What do you say? Now let me just interject here. This whole thing was a setup. And the very fact that they're asking the question gives us an understanding that they actually believed that Jesus was merciful. Or why would they have ever asked the question? They decided to pit the love and the mercy of God against the law. And they were using it as an opportunity to know, We know how he is. We know the compassion that he has. We know the love that this guy has. We know what he would tend to do in these kinds of situations. And we know he won't back down from his position. We've got him on this. And once he says that she can go free, we've got him because he himself is now rising himself above the law. And we have a cause and a reason with which to condemn himself against the very law, because he's breaking the law. And this whole thing was for a cause to accuse him. But it was all based upon the fact that they understood his heart. And the Bible says, now if they came in from this side, I just have a feeling he turned his back. And then the Bible says that he stooped to that granite tile, marble tile, and in the dust that had already gathered through the open air, he began to write. It doesn't say what he wrote, but he slowly began to write in the dust. He was so long down there, it became uncomfortable. Master, we've asked you a question. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. Moses' law that she says she should be stoned to death. What do you say? Do you know what Jesus does? Ignores him. Now, I want to put yourself into the crowd who's watching this happen. He stayed on that floor till the Bible says they asked him repeatedly. Master, Master, we're trying to make, had to give it away. Master, we have an issue here. We need an answer from you. It is dead silent. The only thing that's being heard for the last 3 to 5 minutes is the voice of the accusers. What do you say about this? Again, with his back to them, he continued on his knees, or stooping, as the Bible says, he stooped. And he wrote in the dust. Finally, he broke the silence by saying, "You who have no sin, you can cast the first stone." And he stayed on his knees, or stooped. Silence. From the eldest, who lived a long life and understood that there's a lot of things that have happened in the years and things that have gone on, were convicted in their heart. Pardon me. Now whose heads were down? Excuse me. Till one by one, they left. And Jesus is still, through this whole thing, all you can hear is maybe the excuse me's and the sounds of shuffling. When there was no more sound, a foot shuffling across the marble floor, he turns, and this is what the Bible says, when Jesus turned to the woman, he says he was alone with her. That doesn't mean the crowd wasn't still there, because the crowd was still there. But he was alone with her. And he said to her, "Woman, where's all your accusers?" And that woman probably lifted her head for the first moment. And she said, I have none. And he said, silence. Everybody waiting to hear exactly what was going to transpire because the law was all set against this case. But the accusers were no longer in the room. But the crowd who pressed in was ready to hear what was said. Those who couldn't hear what was said had left. And he said to that woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, the Pharisees, when they saw her, they saw somebody who broke the law. They saw that a law was broken. But what Jesus saw was a woman that was broken. They came with a law, but he also had a law. But his law superseded their law because his law was the law of love, not the law of the word. Because I want you to understand that the way to get someone to change their habits and their ways is not to poke your bony finger in their face and to begin to accuse them of what they've done wrong. Because you better find out and understand in a short minute someone can be pointing a finger in your face because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we must also understand that when he said that day, he who has no sin, all of those people heard it. Anybody in that crowd could have stood up. He said, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. Guess what? There was somebody in that room who had not known sin. The only person with a right to the stone pile. Come on, ma'am. A moment ago, you thought you were facing death as the judgment for your sin. But in a moment, she was given hope. From brokenness, because what matters to him is he saw his humanity and he saw the brokenness. They saw that she broke the law, but he looked back into her past and he saw why she was broken. What was it? What happened? What went on as a child? What caused her to come to such a place that she'd be looking for love in all the wrong places? Because she was a Jew. She was a Hebrew. She knew the law. There was something deep and damaged and broken inside, but there isn't one of us in the midst today who would sit here today and say, I don't have any brokenness. I don't have any history. I don't have anything wrong with me. I will not judge today. Neither does he judge. But he comes here with hope. Then the Bible says, and if you can get the picture, he goes back to teaching. Almost like this didn't happen, but he knows what he's doing. He sits back down, indelbed in everybody's mind. To the day they go to the grave, they're going to remember that experience. And this is what he says. The Bible doesn't say he stood, but this is just me. I can't help it. How you would think he could not stand. He said, I am the light of the world. He who sits in darkness shall see a great light. And he says that he is the light of life. Their light was gone out. It was about to have every stone be thrown at her. She was about to have her life snuffed out. But he became the light of life. You have to understand, you didn't have to worry about this woman going out and repeating what she did because love trumped the law.
And I'm in here today with you. And there's people here who have hurt and brokenness. They're not happy about what has happened. There's shame in their life. And some people here, to some degree, yes, it might be your own fault. But I want you to understand, whether you're at the fault or someone else is at the fault, my God is here saying there's hope for you today. And I want you to know that there's love for you today. And love will trump the law. He's not here to poke his bony finger in your chest and say everything that you've done and repeat every sin back into your face again and accuse you and to send you to a devil's hell or to take you out and stone you. But he's saying to you today, neither do I condemn thee. But then he follows it up with important words, because that love is so powerful. And that's what we've got to understand from our text today. When we get that revelation, it's like the rest of the saints. If I could just walk this mic around and hear story after story after story in this room, people would testify, I was without hope. I had no place to go. But someone had brought me to Christ and he gave me hope. Hallelujah. And I want you to understand, it wasn't the law that got the change. It was the love that got the change. He saw his creation broken ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. To the point that God himself stepped into flesh and faced everything that we faced as a man to redeem us, to purchase us, to buy us back, to give us hope. You say, well, he never knew what I knew, never experienced what I experienced. I beg to differ with you. You see, what do you mean? Was he violated? Oh yeah, he was violated. He was accused falsely. There was a lot of things that created a lot of separation and pain. But God, grieved by the brokenness of his humanity, stepped into it to reverse the curse of separation, experienced separation on our behalf. Because the Bible tells us that on the day that they nailed him to the cross, from noon to 3 o'clock, even the sun hid its face. Darkness fell upon the earth. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus hanging on the cross, pushing up with his feet with all the tear and pulling with his hands to try to catch a breath so he doesn't suffocate. He cries out on the cross and he says, my God, my hands and my feet, they hurt so bad. No. The greatest pain that he felt was not suffocation. The greatest pain that he felt was at the cross and the crucifixion and his back being scraped against the rugged wood and the tearing and the searing pain. But he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the opposite of love is coldness. And coldness, which is Satan's plan, always brings abandonment and aloneness. And he took your sense of abandonment and aloneness and coldness and shame as he hung naked on a cross for you. I just want to be loved. I just want to love. In desperation, we ask, oh God, what is love? Today, you can experience a tangible definition. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 19, I ask the musicians to come as I close. Herein, or as it says in the New King James Version, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the go-between, the appeasement for our sins. Herein is love. You need a definition? This is love. What he did that day, he not only did it for that woman, but he did it for all humanity. And you happen to be within the realm of humanity today, and he's doing it for you today. And he today wants to lift a hurt and a pain and a wound out of somebody's heart and minister healing, because my word tells me that his love, when you can get it to the place you'll understand his love, it will surpass knowledge, because you have knowledge. You know you've got all these things, and your own mind is telling you who you are, and your own mind is telling you these things, but there's something that's greater than even what your own mind is telling you and what other people's bony fingers are telling you. And that's a love that was in this place today that you cannot deny, that is more powerful than knowledge. It passes knowledge, and it will bring healing to you, and it will lift you so you never have to return to it again. And then verse number 19. We love him because he first loved us. In all the old manuscripts, prior to the King James, the word him is omitted. So it really literally leads in the old manuscripts, we love because he first loved us. For you today who doesn't know and is broken and has had the cold winds blow and damage and malign your definition, he will restore it. And he'll heal it in this room. Because in this room is testimony after testimony, person after person. And he says, all that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the depth, the height, the breadth of his love, to know the love of God, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God today, not another day. Let us stand. So back to that young boy. February 13th, 1969, 50 some years ago, I was sitting in a church service just like this. I didn't come expecting to receive the fullness of God in my heart at all. Matter of fact, when the altar call was given, I didn't even respond. I just sat there. But someone came to me and said, you know, I think it'd be good of you to come with me down to the front today. As an 11-year-old boy, having someone come back into the audience and take me to the altar did not make them my best hero. I was not real spiritual, and I was thinking, oh, this must be an angel of God. This is a saint of God. No, I'm thinking I'm embarrassed. This is stupid. Someone's pulling me out of the audience and bringing me to an altar that I don't want to be at. Otherwise, I'd have been down there. And I have to confess, I didn't do a whole lot of praying. I just kept peeking under my arm to see when he left. Hey, I'm probably not the only one here. Finally, he gave up on me. And he left. So you know what I did? Went and sat back down. But you want to know what that stubborn person did? He walked back into the audience again and got me a second time. He dragged me down to the front. I wasn't feeling the love of God. I promise you I wasn't feeling the love of God. It was foreign at that moment, so far from me. I really didn't have pleasant thoughts about that person. When he left, I got smart. And it wasn't Brother Caskey. He's off the hook, so it's okay. I decided, instead of going back to my seat, I'll just go sit on the far right-hand pew, close to the altar, and raise my hands and act like I'm praying. Why would God ever fill anybody with the Holy Ghost with an attitude like that? I'm only going to sit there and raise my hands and act like I'm praying. But you know what happened? I started to talk to him and had the same feeling. And do you know what I did? I said, I love you, God. Even though just a minute before, I had bitterness and hatred in my heart for somebody. I felt it in spite of my childlike anger. And when I said it, it came stronger. And I said it again, and it came stronger. The same thing that happened before. And you want to know what happened? All of a sudden, I began to listen to the words that I was saying, and they weren't even in English anymore. I'm not even sure when they went into another tongue. But there I was, and I was trembling in the presence of God. And I knew that His Spirit was filling my heart. And He filled me with the fullness of God. And how it happens is love. And He's here today. And I'm asking you today. I'm not going to come back, and I'm not going to embarrass you. But I will say, will you come with me to the front? If you got a wound, you got hurt. Maybe if you can turn to neighbor and say, would you go with me? Would you come? There's healing. There's healing in this place. There's healing in this place. There's some love in this place. Would you come? Would you come? I feel it. There's something already healing that's happening as people walk. There's healing going on. Would you come down this morning?
With His wind and mercy,
would you let Him begin to heal? Would you let Him begin to do a work that nobody else can do because He loves you? He cares about you. And I don't know what's happened, and I don't know what's been poking at your brain, but I'm here today to just tell God, I love you, Lord. I love you, God. Would you let Him begin to heal you this morning? Will you allow Him to heal the things that go all the way back to your childhood? Would you let Him get into there? And you might need someone to go there with you today. If you do need someone, would you just let someone talk to you or reach out to someone? Hold somebody's hand. And let them bring you there today. Would you let someone bring you there? I love you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. Healing is happening. Healing is happening in the house. Hallelujah. 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 If there's some prayer warriors that are in our midst who can feel the leading of the Spirit to step in and to walk some people through the pain today into the healing arms of Jesus to see a miracle happen, would you join with me today here in prayer? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, how He loves us so.
Loves like yes, Jesus. I am a tree bending beneath His wind and mercy. I'm aware of His affections, keeps my glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are, and how great Your affections are.
Love, there'll be nothing left in English, and that's okay. Let it come out in another tongue. Maybe it's been a while, but just talk to Him in His language. Come on, let your spirit talk right now. Just let your soul talk right now. Hallelujah, that's the love of Jesus. Let it come in another tongue. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that's it. Hallelujah, there's healing that is happening all over this place right now. As people are reaching out and letting the tears flow unabashed. Hallelujah, we're not ashamed here. This is a safe place. What other people may have meant to be a place of a ground of judgment, He turned it into in a moment's time into a safe place. And this morning is a safe place. It's a safe place. Oh, he's poking somebody, mocking you about your past. Hallelujah. Just pray, I love you through it, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Is an ocean we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a beautiful kiss, and the heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have the time to wait.
Talk to him in his language this morning. There's where the healing falls.
You just pray for someone. Reach out to someone and pray with them at this moment. Hallelujah. Let the love of God minister. Hallelujah. It's a two-way street. You'll discover as you begin to love how much love flows back. Hallelujah. Minister to one another.
Praise the Lord, church. And just have your attention before we, I know there's a lot of you get eager to chat with one another, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've shared this a lot lately with various people, and I just wanted to share this with all of us. We talk about love this morning, and the love that Christ has for us and the love that we need to have for Him. We had a young couple come in to the church this week, and life was just beating them up pretty bad. Brother Seidel talked with them and later invited me in on the conversation, and we came in here and began to just pray with them. There's so many people today in our world that are hurting so bad. I'm amazed at even how many people here have so many hurts, so many struggles. And we look at the church, we look at each other, and I'm reminded of Jesus when He was asked the question, how will you know my disciples? How will you know? A lot of times we may look at it, Brother Rico, and say, well, you know, you're going to know your disciple of Jesus if you're following the Great Commission. You're winning souls. You're reaching out. We may have all these different ideas, maybe, what it means to be a good Christian, what it means to be a good disciple. But Jesus, like He does so many times in His ministry, He responds with this. He says, you know, you're going to know who's one of my disciples by the love that they have one for another. And listen, knowledge is important. It's important. Doctrine is important. Holiness is important. All of these things are important. But love, you're going to know who's a disciple, who's one of my followers, by the how much love they have one for another. That's what attracts the world. It's not how much you know. It's how much do you love. Do you care? Are you concerned? I love all of you today. Thank you so very much, Brother Galen Thompson, for preaching to us. Remember, out in the vestibule, Sister Linda Brown has provided a sign-up for prayer and fasting for some of our sisters, and then most of us, we don't even know the other individual. It's just a friend of a sister that attends church here. But let's continue. Let's pray. Let's fast for these needs. Let's show our love. Let's show our support one to another. God bless you. Thank you so very much for coming out today. If you're a guest of ours, it's just an honor to have you here today. We will be back here Wednesday evening with Wednesday evening Bible study. God bless you. Enjoy the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful weather we're supposed to have today. Over 50 degrees. It's awesome. Excited about that. Remember, 7 o'clock tonight, Men's Vision Service. Brother Jerry Simmons will be overseeing that. God bless you. Have a blessed week.